We'll be back again at 10 tonight. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the brand new LBC app, where you can stay up to date with all the latest news and opinion and put your news categories in the order you want. Pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts. And you can find it free in the App Store now. Coming up at 4, it's Ian Payne. But first, and it is a first for me, we've spoken so many times on the air, but we've never met. It's Richard Spur.
It is lovely to see you. Very welcome. Still to come, almost half of teenagers live with just one parent, with family breakdowns reaching the highest level since records began. I'll be asking if you've made a one-parent family work and whether there's enough help available for you to make it work. But first, the Reform UK leader Nigel Farage has made a direct pitch to Labour voters with a range of policies which he hopes will win working-class families over. He wants to lift the salary level at which you start paying income tax to £20,000, to stop hotel accommodation for asylum seekers, scrap net zero climate measures, and do away with the two-child benefit cap. So this morning, are these the policies which you'd like to see brought into force in Britain? And is Mr. Farage the man to do that?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, a 53-year-old man is being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving after a car was driven into crowds in Liverpool. Police believe the vehicle followed an ambulance through a roadblock during Liverpool's Premier League title parade. Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims is from Merseyside Police.
As with many large events, with event organisers, we plan for all contingencies. And this included the implementation of road closures to protect pedestrians, and an armed policing presence was also in place throughout the day. There was no intelligence to suggest an incident of this nature would take place.
Dozens of people were treated for injuries, with 11 remaining in hospital in a stable condition. A 28-year-old man has appeared in court charged with attempted murder after a police officer was seriously hurt in a car crash. PC Christopher Miller was injured in Stoke Poges in Buckinghamshire last week. The King's given a speech at the opening of Canada's Parliament, warning the country is facing a critical moment at a time of unprecedented challenge. He's also underlined how the new government there is determined to protect Canada's sovereignty. Prime Minister Mark Carney's delighted with the way it went.
It was a very successful visit, a good reminder of the strength of, well, of Canadian institutions. The speech from the throne, brilliantly delivered, I might add, by His Majesty. And you see the enthusiasm.
The Education Secretary has admitted that scrapping the two-child benefit cap isn't off the table, but Bridget Phillipson says the costs involved in reversing the limit means it isn't straightforward. Earlier, Nigel Farage revealed Reform UK would reverse its position by scrapping the cap, having previously supported it. Shadow Home Secretary Chris Philp has told LBC the Conservatives are sticking by the policy they introduced.
Most people are struggling to make ends meet themselves. It's not fair to ask those people who are working hard paying taxes to subsidise other people who've chosen to have more children than they can afford to. That's just fundamentally unfair.
And Adidas says customers' personal information has been stolen in a cyber attack. The company says hackers stole mostly the contact information of those who have dealt with its customer service desk. LBC weather, patchy cloud with some sunny spells today and the odd light shower for most, turning cloudy with wind in the far west towards the evening, a high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Daryl Jackson.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Richard Spur.
Good morning. Nigel Farage has made a direct pitch to Labour voters, announcing policies which he hopes will win over working class families. Something which perhaps is an image he's tried to veer towards in the past with the pint and the cigarette and all the rest of it. He's rather richer, though, I think it should be highlighted, than many working class families. He's used this major speech in London yesterday to accuse the Prime Minister of simply being out of touch. A raft of policies were announced, and the party officially confirmed that it would scrap the two-child benefit cap and reinstate the universal winter fuel payment if it wins the next election. Nigel Farage has been outlining what's been described as his pitch to the working people, and the Reform UK leader says his party believes lifting the cap is the right thing to do.
Not because we support a benefits culture, but because we believe for lower paid workers, this actually makes having children just a little bit easier for them. It's not a silver bullet. It doesn't solve all of those problems, but it helps them.
And he says that those policies are fully costed.
We will scrap net zero. There will be no more asylum hotels or houses of multiple occupancy. People who come here illegally across the channel or on the back of lorries will not be allowed to stay.
And he reaffirmed that Reform UK are the party of working people.
Reform really are now the party of working people. People with alarms that go off at 5 o'clock in the morning. They go off to work. They work damned hard. Whether they're working for companies, whether they're trade union members, whether they run their own businesses or act as sole traders. They're the people that are voting for us. And the great divide that is opening up in British society is between those that get up and go to work, pay an ever-increasing tax burden, feel ever more hampered by government at every level, and their next-door neighbours who choose to do nothing, but actually have a very similar standard of living.
Well, I'm going to talk more to you now about some of the other ideas that Nigel Farage says that he would like to see on the statute books. And I want you to call me today and tell me whether these policies, these visions for the future of Britain, the changes that he says Keir Starmer hasn't made, are winning you over to Mr. Farage's way of thinking and to the way of thinking of Reform UK on 0345 6060 973. Now, one of the major tenets of this is that he simply wants you to have more children. You know, he's confirmed that the party would back more generous tax breaks for married people, something which I think actually existed in this country quite a while ago. I remember when my parents were a young couple, people often talked about getting married for tax reasons, not something that you hear about very much these days. And of course, this scrapping of the two-child benefit limit. Now, I'd very much like to know what you think about that. But of course, policies of this sort cost money, and therefore cutbacks need to be made in other areas. But he says that it's fully costed. Now, let's look at how he's going to cost this. For example, he wants to scrap net zero climate measures. I'm not putting that on quite the same sort of level as the Donald Trump announcements that we have when he came to power for the second time. Do you remember that phrase, drill, baby, drill? And, you know, getting rid of lots of environmentally friendly measures which Joe Biden had put in. He said, no, we don't want these simply. We want America to be a richer country. So he wants to scrap net zero climate measures. He wants to stop any hotel accommodation for asylum seekers while they're waiting to be dealt with, processed, interviewed, whatever the word might be. And again, this is very Trumpian, isn't it? This is very Trumpian. He wants to end diversity and equality initiatives in the public sector and cut down on the number of quangos, bodies which are funded by taxpayers but not directly controlled by central government. Well, I don't think anyone would disagree that cutting down on quangos is a good idea. They've always been something of a cash cow for the people that sit on them, and many of them have not been relevant, and quangos have been going on since goodness knows when. Other things that he's talked about, this is an interesting one for me. He wants to raise, and this is not an original idea, but it's quite bold to posit it as a definite policy, he wants to raise the level of salary, of wages, before you start paying any income tax to £20,000. Now, I think at the moment it's 12,570. I think I'm right in saying that. But he wants to raise it to £20,000. And if you are married, then there will be other assistances built in. So, if, for example, a transferable marriage allowance that would exempt one spouse from paying tax on the first £25,000 of their income, and the other enjoying no tax, no income tax, up to £20,000. What else does he say about children? Well, he's spoken about abortion. He said that he was asked about his view on abortion, and he said that he was pro-choice. he believed that women should have the choice to have an abortion. But he said that it was utterly ludicrous for abortion to be allowed up to 24 weeks when a hospital would, quote, move heaven and earth to help a baby born at 22 weeks survive. There's so much for you to go on this morning. With this raft of policies that he's announced, it really is a full sort of suite of reform, and I mean suite in the sense of S-U-I-T-E, not S-W-E-E-T, although you may well consider it to be both. He says the Prime Minister is failing. He desperately wants couples to have more children, and he wants you to know, if you consider yourself to be working class, and I sometimes wonder what the definition of that phrase is these days, or indeed whether it is a phrase that one should still use. He wants you to know that he is the man who is there for you. And by doing so, of course, and we're both aware of this, he is filling that gap, that vacuum, that caveat that has been left by Sir Keir Starmer. The Labour Party, of course, has traditionally been the party of the working class. Well, many people think that Sir Keir Starmer has moved really too far to the right, and that the working class man or woman doesn't really have a mainstream party to support them. This is the ground that Nigel Farage is hoping to take, and I would love to know this morning whether you feel that his arguments are convincing, are practical, are pragmatic, are costable in the way that he says. It's always easy to make policy statements when you're in opposition because you don't have to actually fill out the spreadsheets. But, you know, this idea that he'll scrap net zero climate measures, he'll scrap diversity and equality initiatives in the public sector, he'll scrap hotel accommodation for asylum seekers, that will raise some money. But will it raise enough money to be able to cut income tax for anybody who earns less than £20,000 or, you know, less than 25 if you're one of a couple? 0345 6060973. I think this encouraging people to have children is a very interesting thing that we might debate, because that's a that's a policy and an initiative which many prominent leaders of countries have used over the decades. WhatsApp, the same number, of course, if you'd like to text, 84850, and you can ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. Now, let's have a look what we've got. Richard in Hampstead on the text, starting us off. Farage is wrong about Starmer being the worst PM since Eden in 1956. All of the 58 PMs we've had since Sir Robert Walpole in 1721, Starmer is the worst. At the next general election, the Labour Party will be destroyed, and Starmer can then reflect on his complete failure as Prime Minister. This says, lol, fully costed, and four laughing emoji faces. He's what he called Labour, a protest party. But they also don't have a record by which to be judged. They don't have a record, it's true. Reform UK are a very young party. Nigel Farage has only been in, although he's been involved in politics, of course, and was an MEP, he's only been in Westminster for the relative blink of an eyelid. I don't get him or how or why he is amplified so much. And indeed, we in the media are often criticised for talking too much about Nigel Farage. This says he'll say anything to get votes. He is a vile little man. Is he going to put it on the side of a bus? I don't believe a word Farage says. This says Richard Farage never mentioned welfare or the NHS today. I will come on to talk a little bit more about some of the other things that he mentioned, which perhaps aren't quite getting the coverage that they might, because I think this idea of tax breaks and more children and reaching out to the working class and the child benefit cap are taking up most of the column inches and the airtime. This says reforms policies should be scrutinised just like anyone else, not just their talking points, which is what the media normally pick up. Richard, Starmer is one of the worst PMs this country has ever had. For me, it is reform all the way. And in addition to raising that personal allowance for everybody up to £20,000, and helping people who get married, so he's very pro-marriage, Nigel Farage. You know, this is a very traditional value. He's saying, look, if you get married, we're going to help you out. We're going to alleviate the tax burden on you. Have more than two children, we're going to help you out there. We're going to get rid of that two-child benefit gap, have more children, create a younger population, you know, bolster the numbers of the generation that is being born at the moment. And, you know, let's not forget that elections that were held at the start of this month saw Reform make huge gains, not just at the expense of Labour, but indeed at the expense of the Conservatives. They won one by-election, they won two mayoral races, and they gained 677 councillors. Now, fair enough. People don't always vote. People often don't vote in local elections in the way that they would vote in the general election because they think, well, this is a good way of me making a protest, but it's not really going to affect the greater picture because, you know, these people aren't going to get into power. But a lot of things are being said here. And this morning I'd like to know whether you feel that Nigel Farage has got the right idea, whether you feel that these are policies that are attractive to hard-working people. Again, a phrase that I'm always loath to use because it's one that's been coined and picked up by politicians. This idea of doing everything he can to encourage people to have more children, the tax breaks, and that he is the man that understands what it's like to be working class because he has an alarm that goes off at 5 in the morning. Call me now, 0345 6060 973.
This is LBC.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity, we actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
Hillary's mid-season sale just got even better. Get up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off absolutely everything. That's 10% off all blinds, curtains and shutters. And an extra 10% off our new range of awnings and pergolas, with measuring and fitting always included. Book your free in-home appointment today. Visit hillarys.co.uk. Hurry, Hillary's extra 10% off everything must end 2nd of June. Conditions apply.
Richard Spur on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
So, a big speech made in central London yesterday by Nigel Farage, highlighting his vision for the future, pointing out the failures of the Labour Party and Sir Keir Starmer and how he wants things to change. Lots of policies to go on. I want to know whether you personally are liking what you're hearing. You're being won over by the sort of rhetoric, the sort of direction, the decisions and the policies that Nigel Farage is saying that he wants for Britain. Richard's in Chiswick. Morning, Richard.
Good morning, Richard.
Morning. Your reaction to the speech?
Well, not only do I like it, if you remember last week, Thursday or Wednesday last week, I actually forecast the opportunist part of what he was doing and how he'd say that, what he said he would do, how he'd then move on to capping two-child benefit, and how he would fund it. I said that they'd say, well, scrap stupid net zero, which it is attractive policy, that they stop the hotels, that basically they can say what they want to do that resonates properly with the British public without having to actually put those policies into place until... Because people are talking about their policies. The manifesto will be, or the reform manifesto come the general election, might be a different proposition to the policies he's talking about today. And one of the brilliant things about yesterday was he did it in the middle of recess, so everybody's away. Mm. So he had the whole limelight and he was able to put across everything that he wanted to. He also answered every single question. I mean, there was about six or seven questions afterwards that were quite near the mark. He never shied away from any of them. And the brilliant thing that he did, he challenged Starmer to a debate. He said, you want a debate? I'll have a debate. Mm. And the thing about it is that, I mean, Temi Badenoch's one thing, but Starmer v Farage one-on-one at the moment. And the thing about Farage is these policies are making his backbenchers more radical in what they want Labour or the direction they want Labour to move in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and one of the things that people often say when you ask them why they are a fan of Mr Farage is they say, well, he's not like other politicians because he gives direct answers. Often, and I know this because I've been doing it for years, that when you ask a politician a question, they'll say, well, you know, look, let me be quite clear about this. I think the real question here, Richard, is, and then they'll answer the question that they wanted to ask. People say, whatever you think about his policies and his ethics and his morals, one thing people do say about Farage, and people may disagree that this is true or not, is that he will give direct answers.
Yes, and whether you like what he says, and this thing about marriage raising the population, actually, that was in their manifesto previous to that, because they want to grow the population in Britain, and that way it encourages, like they've done across Europe, it encourages less migration for work. Do you see what I'm saying? But we have to have less cheap migration to fill places if we've got a population of our own. And he's always been very, very pro that. But the other thing is like with net zero, what they'll go on to is probably more American type politics in terms of drill baby drill, using our own resources, raising revenues from our own gas, from our own oil, from our own energy.
Well, let's talk about those, if you like, sort of quasi-Trumpian ideas of ending diversity and equality initiatives in the public sector. Some people would agree that they are a waste of money and they don't achieve very much, fair enough. But also scrapping net zero climate measures. You know, we've heard this from the other side of the Atlantic only a number of months ago when Donald Trump was re-inaugurated.
Yeah, we did. But the thing that makes it more plausible in this country is that we're such a small country and our contribution to carbon capture, our contribution is minimal. If we didn't even exist, we couldn't affect net zero. And this country has been very proactive in cutting its gases. And so it would be, instead of importing, because basically by importing everything from China, who are creating the carbon problem, by importing all their goods, we're no better than them, really. And we don't need net zero. We could get about 40 or 50 billion out of that. The hotels and what it's costing us to do things. But also the Doge-like thing that they're doing in America, looking at where we waste in the civil service, where we waste at council levels, the amount of money that we spend on stuff that we don't need. Mm. And it's often been highlighted. And there is probably money there. And what he's saying is, and he doesn't have to prove, is economically plausible, and it's what the public want to hear. A lot of the public don't want net zero, and certainly the public don't want us stopping pensioners having heating allowances while we're funding hotels.
Well, on the one hand, I mean, the other thing he's talking about is repealing that removal of the winter fuel allowance. So he's throwing a lifeline out there to pensioners as well. But I mean, just on this point of children and marriage, and in a sense, I'm laying down a bit of a precursor to what we're going to be talking about after two, which is making single parent families work, which I'm looking forward to discussing after 2 o'clock. But this is related because he says this, Richard. He says reform, they want to go much further to encourage people to have children, but making it easier for them to have children. And he said that that was why his party would be pushing for these tax breaks. But he also is a huge fan of marriage. He said he's not moralising on the subject of marriage, adding that his own track record was not so good on this. Indeed, his marriage broke up. In fact, he's been divorced twice. But he says making marriage a little bit more important is the right thing to do because it gives children the best chance of success. I'd love to know whether you feel that is sort of on message with how people feel these days. Because my own view is that if people want to get married, that's absolutely great. But as long as you've got a parent that loves a child, it would strike me that that's 95% of the battle won. But he actually thinks that the institution of marriage is really rather important, even though he's been divorced twice. Do you find that interesting? And do you find it contradictory at all?
I don't find it contradictory at all. I think, more solid and stable backgrounds. And if you look across the continent, and especially if you look at, like, South Asian backgrounds, a lot of those backgrounds are solid family units. They have their solid solid marriages, they've got solid relation backgrounds, and they have quite large families, two or three or four, and they create their own strengths, and they create some of the morals and some of the things that we might have lost. Look, I know it's hard now to find young, like, teenagers in employment. It's hard, and maybe we've been culpable in that because we haven't got enough apprenticeships, and we haven't really applied ourselves to our younger generation and to marriage and to stable backgrounds. But stable backgrounds, two parent families, solid unity, cuts all sorts of things, creates a better population, and in some instances creates a safer population, because, you know, when they look at the causes of crime and drug abuse and things like that, it often resonates that they've come from broken backgrounds and things like that, which is sad, but it is a fact.
Thanks, Richard, for beginning the conversation. Kenny says, good morning. Farage is an arse. Alas, all he has to do is keep his mouth shut. Starmer has destroyed the Labour Party for normal Labour voters. The Tories have destroyed themselves with all the corruption over COVID. I'm hoping that you people in the media will promote somebody decent for a change. I'm not trying, personally, not trying to promote Mr Farage, but I do think it's very interesting to discuss the sort of ideas that he's got for the country and whether you think that they could work in practice. You know, because we're talking here about an enormous cost to remove income tax liability, from anybody that earns under £20,000. That's going to cost the Treasury a vast sum of money. And I would just question whether this is being properly costed. This, definitely not won over, but then I'm not a racist or a gullible moron. Who would believe anything that this grifter would say? And James in Twickenham, Richard, Farage is a troublemaker. He spends his time emotionalising any subject that is relevant. As for his discussion of working people, surely that is anybody earning money on a PAYE basis. Brent's in Derby. Morning, Brent.
Morning, my friend. He's got some brass neck, to be honest with you, Farage. He's man of the people, working class. Who's he trying to kid? He couldn't be bothered with actually voting on the two-cap policy last time he was in Parliament. He's an absolute charlatan. And to even convince him, says he's man of the people now and he's trade unionist. He's not a trade unionist. He's a free marketeer. He's a fossil fuel lobbyist. He's a man who actually did Brexit and walked away, left the mess, comes back and then says, what's going on here? And then blames everybody else. But yeah, he's very charismatic. He's very intelligent. He knows exactly where to push and exactly what buttons to push. But he's a liar. He's been proven to lie. This is not even costed. This is not real politics. This is just out of the Trumpian playbook.
But
that's all it is.
He's got an enormous opportunity. He's got an enormous opportunity here, hasn't he? Because so many people feel that Labour have abandoned their heartland. That Labour have abandoned the working classes who traditionally have voted for them for generations. So, you know, he's seen a gap and he's run into it.
It's Weimar Republic all over, and some of his policies have shades of Lebensborn. You know, let's breed for Germany. Oh, sorry, just breed for God. You know, he is married to a German with a French name, and he does have tendencies towards that direction when it comes to that. But some of these policies have just been dusted off in the 1930s. And if he really wants to solve the migration problem, we have the records and numbers of people leaving. And one of the reasons they're leaving is one of his actual messes, and that's Brexit. So if he really wants to keep people in this country and stop migration, then would he reverse that? I don't think so. Because, unfortunately, it's like net zero. What's wrong with net zero? What's wrong with having clean air? What's wrong with having green energy? What's wrong with having lower bills? What's wrong with having more control over energy prices? No, that's right, because fossil fuel companies, which seem to be his friend, along with Putin, he talks about patriotism. I would question his patriotism of what he's done to his own country. He's no patriot. Where's his charity work? Where's his voluntary work? Where's him looking out? Where's him helping his local communities? What have I seen him doing any charity work or helping people on benefits? Where is he the champion of the people? Where does he give any of his money away? Where have you seen him doing any acts that you could say is an altruistic act where he's done something for the rest of the community? That's what working class people do. You saw that in Liverpool recently. You see that in working class communities. People stick together. I'm working class in my heart. I've always and will be. I grew up in a council estate. My father's a plasterer and my mum's a housewife. I know exactly what it's like to grow up in a working class community. That's one of the reasons why I'm educated in a working class community. And I see the impact of policies of both Labour and the Conservatives. So he is right about one thing. There is the opportunity, and you're right. He is an opportunist. And unfortunately, because politics has failed in this country and the two major political parties have failed, he is taking the opportunity. And he has got the right name. Reform is the correct name. But he's the wrong person.
It's interesting, isn't it? And he's adopted, and really right from the start in his career in politics, he's adopted the trappings of what he considers to be a working-class man, which is a cigarette and a pint of beer. It's said in political circles that he's actually not a great fan of drinking beer. But and I've said this before, you know, rather like Harold Wilson in the 60s, who was an Oxford academic who smoked a cigar and liked whiskey. They stuck a raincoat on him and a pipe and decided that you know, he would be the cipher of the working man. And there's nothing new in that, you know. There's nothing new in trying to reinvent an image of that sort. But again, I think, you know, you raise an interesting point. He certainly is a free marketeer. He's a very rich man. He trades in gold bullion. He's about 8 or 9 other jobs that earn him, you know, a fair old bit of money. But it was rather like with Rishi Sunak. You know, people said, look, how can a man who is as rich as Rishi Sunak really understands the plight of people who are unemployed or on you know, universal credit? They can't understand it because they've never known what it's like to be that poor. Do you agree with that? And do you think that really to know how to sculpt policy and to make life fairer for people who are poorer than for the working classes, you need to have known poverty yourself?
I think there's an element of that, but there's also an element of understanding, I think, all the people. He gets an amplification and a megaphone. He doesn't speak for working class people. He doesn't speak for a lot of people. But he seems to come across. I mean, look at the voting rates. The last election, it was a landslide, and how many councillors did they win? And it gets amplified. And it's the same during Brexit. How many people voted? 17 million out of what? What's the population of the country? 67 million. And he keeps saying the silent majority. Yeah, I'm upset about the hotels. You know, he does speak sometimes. The stopwatch is correct. He does actually hit the nail on the head sometimes. But we're all thinking that. So he's sometimes stating the obvious. Yeah, the country's broke. Yeah, the country's debt. We talked about it recently about the lowering of standards. But I'm not looking to him to raise our standards. I can trust the guy. The guy does, you know, sort of birthday messages for 20 quid a pop. I mean, who else is he selling out? You know, that's the question about the commodity of trust. Do I trust Nigel Farage? No. And he comes along and says, oh, trust me, I'm different. Is he really? Is he really that different? And there's our problem is people are losing faith. And literally they're turning to him because they're desperate. And we have heard that before so many times, haven't we? We've seen that mantra before. I'm the saviour. I'm going to save this country. And it gets momentum and it gets people sort of excited and talking. This is the change. He's going to save us. And I'm not saying people are gullible, but people are desperate because everything has failed. And I get that. And that's what he is. He's just an opportunist.
Brent,
and that's what he is.
It's good to hear from you. Thanks for getting in touch again on 0345 606 0973. Really, I think this is a direct call to Labour voters, a bid to win over people who, you know, many people are still very proud to consider themselves and to call themselves working class. But for everybody, I think that phrase working class has a different meaning and a different definition. I'll talk a little bit more about what he's suggesting. You've heard a great deal of it already. This morning, I want you to call me and tell me whether he is winning you over, whether you are convinced by the direction he thinks Britain needs to go in, or do you have your suspicions about just what his motives might be? More on the way. I'm Richard Spur. Time for the LBC News headlines. They come from Daryl Jackson.
11 people are still in hospital after a car was driven into crowds at Liverpool's Premier League title parade on Monday. It's believed the vehicle followed an ambulance through a roadblock to access Water Street, where dozens of people were injured. A van driver has been jailed for 12 years after running down a 3-year-old girl in Manchester in February who died from her injuries. A court heard that Rawal Rahman, who's 36, 1986 and from the city had taken at least 20 lines of cocaine at the time. And the Kings warned Canada is facing a critical moment with the world a more dangerous place. Charles has opened the country's parliament in Ottawa at a time when Donald Trump's threatened to make Canada part of the US. LBC weather, rain clearing eastwards to leave a mostly dry night, showers lingering in central areas and a low of 2 degrees.
This is LBC.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site, or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor.
This is LBC with Richard Spur. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Hello, good morning. The Reform UK leader Nigel Farage has made a direct pitch to Labour voters with a range of policies which he hopes will win working class families over to his party and his way of thinking. He wants to lift the salary level at which you start paying income tax to be £20,000. He wants to stop hotel accommodation for asylum seekers, scrap net zero climate measures, do away with the two-child benefit cap. But are those the policies that you would like to see brought into force in Britain? And is Mr. Farage the man to do it? Whether or not you believe that he will ever be in the position of walking through the doors of Number 10 and being the First Lord of the Treasury and in control of the country, more or less. The point with Farage is that far more, as far as I can see, than the Liberal Democrats or the Greens or the Conservative Party, he does have influence. And so what he says can have, I think, or potentially can have, an effect on government policy. So he already has a degree of political power, in my humble opinion. I wonder what you think about that. Is he right to be encouraging us to have more children and bolster the numbers of the younger generation, whilst at the same time throwing something of a concession to pensioners by saying that he would reverse the scrapping of the winter fuel allowance? And when it comes to these huge policies that are going to cost a great deal of money, particularly the income tax cuts, is he really going to be able to fund that by simply ending diversity and equality initiatives, scrapping net zero, stopping hotel accommodation for asylum seekers? 0345 6060973. This says billions lost due to Farage and his lies, yet gullible fools are quite happy to believe him yet again. That's referring, I think, to Brexit. It was an interesting point, wasn't it, that Brent made just then when he called to say that, well, you know, Nigel Farage put his all into campaigning for Brexit in the EU referendum, got what he wanted, celebrated with his pint, and then he sort of went away for a while. And now he comes back into Westminster politics and say, well, you made a right mess of this lot. It's, you know, time for me to sort it out. And yet, you know, it's rather as if he lit the blue touch paper, the firework exploded, him having retired from the scene, and then comes back and says, well, you've not done a great job here. Chris in Glasgow, I'm glad that there are people like your last caller, Brent, in the world. It makes me feel a little more at ease. However, it's a shame that most people are so lost and ignorant that they believe Farage is the answer. Joe's in Brighton. Morning, Joe.
Hi, we've spoken before.
Yes.
You know it's that Joe who you're speaking to.
It's that Joe. What would you like to say, that Joe?
Okay, right. This is a man who supported Liz Truss's budget. You remember he said it was a proper Conservative budget? And he supported it. So that's number one. People should be alert that Nigel Farage was a big fan of Liz Truss's budget.
Right.
I've been trying to advise the Labour Party. They are actually in power. Why haven't they got a press secretary at 8 o'clock every day, like when we had COVID, explaining their policies, that what they're launching and what milestones they have reached for that day? Why don't they have a nighttime press secretary who talks the late night radio show? They need to drown out his message. And the only way to do that is to have a press secretary like Trump has. Mm. They need to set the agenda every evening. Most people get home by 8 o'clock. Then after they've had their dinner at 7:30, you have the press conference from Downing Street explaining all the things the Labour Party have done for that day, that week, what goals. And then nighttime, you have a nighttime press secretary who talks to people like you and other late night BBC shows and all that all across the country. That's how you drown it out, because he has no solution. All these people like Richard and Daniel coming on twice a day on LBC trying to say he's reaching out to, he cannot have cost all those things. I'm telling you, what Labour Party done wrong is what Jeremy Hunt said on Richard. He said, we had loads of policy writers telling us we should try this, we should try that, and we refused to cut the triple lock. I've met a few policy writers in my job. They tend to live in Parliament Hill and near where Jeremy Corbyn, more than people live. That you don't. The problem is you have all these people having to write policies every day. They present it to the minister, and then the minister says that's a good idea, and then they speak around the cabinet and say this is the idea. Unfortunately, Keir Starmer went for the ideas what the Conservatives refused to do, and that's what he said. Jeremy Hunt said we were asked to do that, and we decided it was too risky. Unfortunately, Labour, well, you know what? Let's be a government who listens to the policy writers. Mm. And it's all right for Farage to make the mistake and back in trust. Starmer's made mistakes listening to policy writers. And that's all the mistake. He's still got 4 3 years to correct that. And all I can say to all these people who have left the Labour Party to go to Reform, I can tell you this, right? Reformers are ultra-conservative. I lived in Bournemouth. I saw them shut down all the care homes. I saw them shut down all the clinics. Why did Jeremy Hunt sell his company, Hot Courses? Because the Conservatives shut down all the adult education centres.
So you feel that Reform UK is an ultra-conservative party?
Of course, because he's a Thatcher, right?
And yet one which wants to work out, reach out to the working man and woman, according to Mr Farage.
Well, so why doesn't he say, OK, I was wrong to support the Conservatives when they shut down all the adult education classes. I was wrong to support the Conservatives when they shut down the budget in for evening classes. How do you think we produce plumbers and electricians?
Can I ask you about a point you made a while ago, which I think is interesting, and it's not one I've heard very often. You feel, you might be right, that the Conservatives, the Labour Party, they don't have refer to it as comms. They don't have a powerful enough publicity and communications team to put their own views forcefully enough in order to eclipse all the airtime that Mr Farage gets. You think that they actually need to up the level of their comms in order to limit the oxygen of publicity that he gets?
Listen, Richard, I've had the Labour Party write back to me. I've actually got Morgan Sweeney's details. I have told them, you have to drown out his message. Do every day a press conference from Downing Street. Do have a nighttime. That's the only way, because he, and do live broadcasts on YouTube. When you're having your press secretary talk at Downing Street, make sure it's being broadcast on TikTok. Make sure it's being broadcast on YouTube. He's drowning them out. He's using all these little clips. They're all using what we call guerrilla marketing. Using little TikTok videos for 1 minute. I'm here on Dover today, looking over the beautiful day in Dover.
There's no question that he does know how to use a microphone, a camera, and to get his message across. Joe, thank you. Interesting points made there. David's in Kingsbury. Morning, David.
Hi, Richard. Yeah.
Hi.
It's a breath of fresh air, because having supported partially the Conservative Party while supporting the old UKIP as well as Reform, to bring in Labour, to bring in literally the worst possible policies of the Conservatives plus the worst possible policies of Labour, is really country taking us from insult to injury, and Farage has noticed this huge yawning gap where all the other parties, including the Lib Dems and Greens, agreed. DEI, putting migrants up in hotels, net zero, they all agree on that. So, you know, can't we have another party that actually disagrees with it so people can vote for an alternative? Makes sense to me.
Do you feel, though, that he's, at this stage, laid out a realistic way of costing enormously expensive policies?
Well, he probably has, because net zero alone... I mean, this carbon capture machine that Keir Starmer's creating, I mean, we've got 0.04% of CO2 in the atmosphere. We used to have 0.32 or something, so it's gone up 0.008%. How much is this carbon capture machine going to take out of it? And it's going to cost billions. And, I mean, basically, if you look at the climate, there is, whatever the temperature is or isn't doing, there is no increase in any extreme weather. The sea level is still rising at under a foot a century. Food production has increased drastically in the last 100 years per acre. And the deserts are shrinking. So, you know, what are we trying to stop here?
Well,
people realise that.
There's no question that the world is heating up and that the polar ice...
But what about the consequences? I'm not aware of any detrimental consequences. That's the whole point.
Well, there are huge consequences, not least of all in agriculture and in the way that ecosystems work. But what we've got to do is to look ahead and, you know, see what's going to happen for the generations to come, which Nigel Farage wants to be bolstered by more people having children. I think, you know, we cannot deny that climate change is happening at an exponential rate. And, you know, I don't think it helps when the likes of Mr. Trump and Mr. Farage really sideline the measures that are being taken at the moment to limit that. David, thank you, though, and respect your point of view, of course. Quick message, and then we'll have a break and then some more calls. Farage has spent more time abroad making himself money than he's spent in his constituency. He is often criticised for not being in Clacton as often as he might, although many politicians don't spend enough time in their constituencies, it has to be said. Not held one surgery since his election. I'm not in a position to know whether that's true or not, actually, but it may well be. But what makes anyone think he is out for anyone but himself? 0345 6060 973.
This is LBC.
I've had a few. Jimmy was my first. He was gorgeous and gave me so much space. Then there was Lorenzo. He was exciting, but also reliable. Elvis is my latest. I love him the most. He makes me feel so warm with his heated seats and steering wheel. It might sound strange to love a car and name them, but it's not just me. Almost every Honda Jazz owner stays with the Jazz and buys another. True love starts with a test drive. Honda, the power of dreams.
The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963, a Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
The Red Cross is here to deliver essentials to people who have lost everything in Ukraine.
We are here to support families enduring the food crisis in Somalia.
We're here to shelter earthquake survivors in Turkey and Syria.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
Leading Britain's conversation with Richard Spur. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Well, after the news, almost half of teenagers in Britain live now with just one parent. Almost half. I find that an astonishing figure. With family breakdowns reaching the highest level since records began. And we may well unpack why that might be, why more families are breaking down than ever before. And I'm going to be asking if you yourself have made a one-parent family work. It might be that you're the child or or the parent that was in charge of trying to make things tick over in what can be an incredibly difficult time, particularly in the first months and years after one partner has left the household. And is enough help available for you to make it work if you are a one-parent family? What's it like bringing up a child on your own? And, you know, what are the challenges that you faced? 10345 6060973. And, you know, I come from a family which has had fractures in marriages and step-parents coming in, and so it's something I know a bit about, but as ever, it's really you I want to hear from. So we're going to be talking about that, single-parent families and just what the main challenges are. Have you made it work for yourself? In the meantime, let's talk a little more about Nigel Farage and this big speech that he gave yesterday in central London, laying out the policies that he would bring in if he were in charge of the country, and highlighting where he feels the Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer has failed miserably. Max is in Camden in North London. Morning, Max.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for taking the call.
It's okay.
I mean, to be brief, I can't stress how much I feel uncomfortable about Nigel Farage, and I'm trying to work out why. And I think the thing is this, that in a leader or someone who's governing the country and making big decisions of your country, you want someone who you believe is talking directly from the brain to the heart to what they want to do for the good of the country. I mean, that's the idea. Whether that happens or not, is, you know, but I think it happens quite, even with people like Margaret Thatcher, I think, although she, you know, the very controversial figure, but her heart was connected to her ideals and her brain.
And her economic policy, I think, chiefly was what drove her. Yeah.
Well, but what I'm saying is she was genuine about her convictions. Put it like that.
And you don't feel that Farage has that genuine drive.
100% no. It's ridiculous that anyone can't see through that, to my mind. And I only have to point out a couple of things. One, a so-called hero of the working classes. The working classes have the best value system and moral compass that we have in this country. And it's fairness and everyone helps each other, et cetera, et cetera. How can Nigel Farage, who dismantle the EU, smugly laugh at them and say, who's laughing now, and walk away with a pension for life? That's not the kind...
No, we've lost Max, I'm afraid. His connection dropped out, but hopefully he got the majority of his point across. Let's go to Alan then, who's in Dartford. Morning, Alan.
Hi, that's very cool.
That's okay.
How do you win an election? I'll tell you how you win it, and I'm just a working-class bloke. I work in drainage. I work 7 days a week on nights just to earn a living. I'll tell you how you win an election. You mobilise the people that don't vote, because every election you hear about the poor turnout. So Nigel Farage in Brexit mobilised the people that don't vote by blaming everything on immigrants. I'll get everyone out of the country. We'll get away from the EU. Take back our sovereignty. He mobilised the vote that didn't normally vote. And now he's doing the same thing. He hears the noise that people are making about immigrants, about hotel bills, about all of the issues of illegal immigrants coming over. Mm. So he's mobilising that vote.
Yes.
I'm going to throw out all of the immigrants out of the hotels. Where are they going to go? Because if Conservative can't do it and Labour can't do it, because we can't put someone back to a country if they haven't got any paperwork. So how is Nigel going to do it? He says he's got a top QC working for him. What, one? Do you think he's going to be able to beat the European Court of Human Rights? You can't just take someone back across the channel, dump them in France and say, do one, you're not coming back. If our big part is, i.e. Labour and Conservative can't do it, how's Nigel going to do it? The next thing is, Nigel's party hasn't got enough intelligence, brains and experience to go out and do trade deals.
Really?
To reform the NH. No. How have they? How? Nigel is a one-trick pony. He only ever talks about He hears that people are complaining about the benefit system. Oh, I'll scrap the heating allowance. You'll get all of that back, and I'll get rid of all the immigrants. And what else do you want? Oh, I'll give you all of that as well. When it actually comes to running a country, running a government, running an economy, running a housing, education, and a health service, he hasn't got a clue. He hasn't got enough people in his party that would even have the first foggiest idea of how to run a government. And he's a one-trick pony.
And for that reason, you wouldn't really take on any of his other policies, the announcements he made yesterday, because you don't think he holistically has got the ability to be a leader. Thank you, Alan. James is in Brent. Morning, James.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. What's your take on the speech that took place yesterday?
Well, the thing with Nigel is he's very good talker, he's a very good orator, and he's not a working class man. I mean, that's a fact. The gentleman who was on a little while ago who said he was acting as a working class man, he is. He's just an acting man. He's got a lot of money. He can't have any possible idea of what it's really like to be a working class person or even a middle class person, because even the middle class is struggling now. Let's be fair.
I would call him middle class.
Yeah, but middle class. But yeah, he's got more money. I mean, I know people who are middle class and they're still not quite on his level financially.
No.
So that's what I mean by that. But you look at the party in general, and there's a lot of Conservatives in there that joined his party just before the Conservatives lost the election. And for me, that's the big red flag straight away. And everything that he's got there, and you're like, when he talks about his policies, what he's going to do, you look at it and you think, how are you going to afford it? How are you actually going to put this into practice? And how is it going to work? And when you say you're going to close all the hotels, I agree with what the previous gentleman said. Where are you going to put them all? You know, I agree, the immigrant problem, there is a problem with people in boats for multiple reasons other than they're coming into the country. You've got to look at the safety aspect from them. You've got to look at the fact that it's funding organised crime, because it's organised criminal gangs that are doing it. There's so many reasons why we shouldn't have these boats in the Channel other than they're coming into the UK. So that has to be addressed.
And
how do we do it?
And, well, you make the eternal point, which is, what do you do with those people if they're not in hotels? Because something has to be done. They are, after all, not commodities, and they are human beings that deserve a level of good treatment. But I hear absolutely what you're saying when it comes, you know, to that point about the number of question marks that have been raised and have never really been resolved. We finish, I think, with David in Cheshire. Morning, David.
Oh, good morning, yes. Okay, well, I'll be as quick as I can. So, you know, apart from the reappearance of Jesus himself, this country's in a dire state. Now, I'm not a huge lover of Farage. A couple of things, though. He does speak from the... he doesn't use a script like Starmer. He does speak straight from the brain, if you like, or the heart. And also, as I say, I'm not a Farage lover. Any port in a storm, now, even if he gets in and he's a disaster, it's not going to be any worse than what we've had at them over the last 20 years. It can't be any worse. It just can't be. So he is a lifeline, and as I say, it's any port in a storm. So we've got to have him in. It's necessary.
But, I mean, the idea that he can't be any worse than what's gone before, I'm not sure how compelling an argument that is to vote somebody into such a powerful position.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's our only hope. I mean, look, if you were counting, and instead of counting the number of dinghies and immigrants that came in, if you just said to the public every day, right, £10 million of losses have come into the country today, whether it was 100 boats or 50 boats, that's what's going to cost us, the taxpayer. Then on the following day, it came in £5 million of cost to the taxpayer. Now, if that goes on for the next four years, Farage is going to get a completely different country anyway, because everybody's going to be costing the country an absolute fortune.
And that's,
so it's any
to one extent, let's put aside the discussion about asylum seekers and immigration. Just finally, I'll put that point to you that our last caller made, James, who said, look, you know, this isn't somebody, and the other people in his party are not people who have sufficient experience to deal with issues like...
Doesn't matter how bad they do. They can't be doing anything.
Well, I think it does matter that a potential government knows how to deal with things like health and education.
It might matter. That's not the way that people are going to think. The people are desperate for a lifeline, and Farage does not talk from a script.
No, he doesn't. So you're right, but that lifeline has got to come from somebody who is competent, not just to deal with immigration.
We
but
don't have anybody else. There is nobody else. We don't have anybody else.
You don't feel that any other politician in the House of Commons has got...
He's the best chance of the bookies, and that's the way that people are going to see it. That's the best chance in the race. They might all fall at the hurdles, but if you're going to put your money on anybody to run the country, you might as well choose the favourite, because at least therein lies our best hope.
Well, I'm not entirely sure about that, but it seems to me that...
I'm still going to vote for him, because that's our last hope. The only person that would beat him, and the party's not been created yet, as far as the people's vote, would be a Tommy Robinson party.
All right.
Any other person.
Well, listen, David, there we are. And I think David, there are a lot of people like David, a lot of Davids out there who feel that, you know, he answers questions directly, he doesn't talk from a script, he smiles, he has that charisma, he cracks a joke, and that's a very winning way with many people. To an extent, you know, Boris Johnson's quote-unquote charisma took him perhaps further than his political ability would have done, but we shall see. Interesting. After the news, almost half of teenagers live with just one parent. Yes, almost half in Britain, with family breakdowns now reaching the highest level since records began. Why is that? And I'm asking you, have you made a one-parent family work? And is there enough help out there available for you to make it work?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 2 o'clock, police in Liverpool have until lunchtime today to charge a suspect involved in the incident in the city centre on Monday. More than 60 people were injured after a car ploughed into crowds celebrating Liverpool Football Club's trophy parade. The Kings praised the strength of the community spirit in the city. Pub landlord Bobby Dick shut his doors when it happened.
I shepherded the last few people in and locked up, not knowing exactly what it was, just knowing that outside wasn't currently safe. People got split up, of course. Everyone who was in the pub knew people that were outside, fellow friends, family, supporters. So people were worried and concerned.
It's believed the car accessed closed roads by following an ambulance. The heads of the